Have you ever described a job you had as a nightmare? Maybe it was a crazy demanding boss, a nutty coworker, or just insane everything. If you've ever had a workplace where you had to say, you can't make this shit up on a daily basis, we want to hear about it. Anonymously, of course, on our new podcast, Office Horror Stories. Each week, we'll play back your calls, read your stories, and discuss the craziest, most extreme, and intense workplaces of all time. But to do that, we need your stories. If you have a crazy workplace story in your past or maybe even present, tell us about it anonymously. Just call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. We don't want your name. We don't want the name of the workplace. We just want your story. So you can go ahead and let it all out anonymously. Call toll-free 1-833-HATE-JOB. That's 1-833-HATE-JOB. Or write in your story on our website, officehorrorstories.com. That's officehorrorstories.com. Now you have an outlet to share the craziness that is or was your office. Then stay tuned as we launch the new podcast, Office Horror Stories, this fall. Tell us your story now at officehorrorstories.com. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what is cursed land? Is it possible for there to be plots of earth that are simply uninhabitable due to the actions of prior generations? What kind of dark actions would have to have taken place in such a spot for it to be cursed and unusable long after those who stained it have passed?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can email us. Go to our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Tell Us Your Ghost Story and send your ghost story in that way. And of course, if you like the show, support it, please. You sign up to become an EPP, an extra podcast person. You do that by going to ghostpodcast.com and signing up for $5 a month. Get access to all the advanced episodes and brand new EPP bonus episodes every single week, just packed with our best ghost stories. You get access to our whole archive of them, many, many years worth, almost like 270 some of them up there for you right now. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Or you can do the same thing through Patreon, all the same stuff there for you. Patreon.com/realghoststories to do that. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
My hands are still painty.
Yes, they are.
I can't get, what is your, like, a special way to get paint off your hands?
I just use warm water and like one of those SOS sponges.
Like the
green and yellow ones?
Oh, I was trying to use like the metal, the no. Scrubbing, what is that called? Like the
Brillo pad?
A Brillo pad. Yeah. I have a Brillo pad in the shower. I like Brillo pads instead of the, what's the thing? The colorful poofy thing.
That's a loofah.
A loofah. Yeah. I like the Brillo pad over the loofah. I feel like it gets in a little bit deeper, really gets the grit out.
Leaves some shavings behind. It's kind of gross.
That's why I don't know what these strange marks are all over my arm that, I had a dream the other night that it's just coming back to me right now. I haven't even thought of this since the dream, where it looked like a bite mark or something had like, it was eating my skin away.
Ew.
Yeah. I think it was like a zombie type infection or something. I don't know. And I looked around, like all these people had them, and I'm like, oh my God, I got it on my arm. I think the word flesh-eating bacteria came to mind.
Oh, that stuff is so scary.
And then my mind just, you know, took it to an extreme.
I think I am more afraid of that than all the stuff we talk about on the show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's you know, just the idea. Mm-hmm. And it's real. I mean, it's very real. I mean, it's happened to people that we've, you know, known remotely.
Yeah.
And it's like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, yeah. How do you get that
that sort of, I mean, is it just out there and then it's unsanitary, or?
The person that I knew that got it in the hospital after she had a C-section.
Okay.
It just was something somehow got to her. So it was like, that was on my mind the whole time we had Harper.
Well, that was also too, because probably right before, the night before we had her, we were watching, I think it was Dateline, and we were watching a marathon of flesh-eating bacteria stories on Dateline, and they all had to do with pregnancies. And I thought, this is great. We should watch this right before you have.
No, we didn't do that. We did not do that.
I like to do that, and I also like to watch Seconds from Disaster and watch like airplane episodes every time before I fly. Just, you know.
Yeah.
That way you feel really grateful when you land, because you're like, that shit didn't happen. I'm good. I still have my raisinettes. I'm happy. And that's the way to do it.
No.
That's a real twisted way of going through life. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, so 2 years ago, my girlfriend and I decided to move in with two of my brothers. They had a historical house in New York. The house and land already had a history of deaths and slavery. Well, after being there for about a week and learning all of this, my girlfriend wanted to use a Ouija board in the house. My brothers and I, having some knowledge about a Ouija board and hearing a story about it from our father, not being relevant to my experience, but when my father and his siblings were younger, my aunt asked who would my first child, my aunt asked who would be my first child to die and when. Being skeptic about it, then it replied now and counted down. When it reached six, my nephew, who was only four, went down a slide and was impaled by some handlebars. Jesus. I didn't believe this story. I figured it was something my father was sharing with me to scare me, like most adults did back then to keep their children away from going outside at night or such the like. That's one hell of a way to do a cautionary tale.
Don't, if you're going to do the Ouija stuff, which you shouldn't, don't ask stuff you don't really want to know.
Can we use that tale, like what, Ouija boards, to keep our kids away from it?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, daddy had a sister once, and grandma decided to get the Ouija board out and asked it, how was one of your children going to die? And then suddenly, she was swarmed by a pack of chipmunks. They found a corpse, just a skeleton out back by the creek, and a lot of very full chipmunks.
Mm-hmm.
So the cautionary tale there is, don't fuck with chipmunks and don't use a Ouija board.
Okay.
It's two birds with one stone.
Because that chipmunk lesson is so important.
Life lessons. Mm-hmm. Continuing on, well, after meeting my aunt for the first time and seeing the pictures of her firstborn son in the memorial spot in her living room, I found out that the story, in fact, was true. Holy shit. It put chills down my spine to where I wouldn't ever want to contact the paranormal. As I got older, my siblings and I decided to give it a try. Not knowing much of the rules, but to have fun, I suppose you can call it. So going back to my story, my girlfriend wanted to use a Ouija board in the house. Her not knowing what had happened in the past with our nephew, I was very much against it in many ways, but I didn't want to seem scared. To show off to her, in a way I guess I can put it, well, we used the board. We contacted one entity asking for help, saying they're still chained up and it's dark. I don't remember the full conversation. Well, that was enough to make me want to stop for now after saying goodbye. I went to the kitchen to make dinner. I lit a few candles in the kitchen because my brothers recently renovated the place and made it into an open floor plan. They didn't want bright lights on while they played, just candlelight. So I hid the heavy glass pan between candle lights as I was prepping some potato skins. I turned to my side and tried to preheat the oven, and when I turned back around, the pan was floating in the air about chest high. It turned into a sphere shape as I'm looking at it, shocked and confused. My brothers and my girlfriend in the other room shouting goodbye because the entity they were connecting to was counting down. My brothers, who heard the story about my nephew, were in a panic about this, in fear of what was happening in front of me. I screamed and drew the attention of everyone in the other room, and they now saw the glass sphere now inches away from me. My girlfriend started to yell, and then the sphere popped and went into thousands of shards that surrounded the kitchen. All of it flew forward towards me. However, I had some energy that reflected the glass. I only received one cut from my forearm because I brought my arms up in fear of protecting myself. My brothers and girlfriend came running in to check on me without remembering if they properly said goodbye. A little over a year later, after moving to Florida, I had the urge out of nowhere to use a Ouija board. Alone this time around, so after lighting candles, I sat down and attempted to do this. At first, the entity was trying to act like my father, who passed away on top of me just a few months beforehand. I knew it wasn't my father, though. I couldn't feel his presence. So I asked again who I'm speaking to. I went to a bunch of letters that didn't make any sense or could have been a different language, I don't know. At this point, I was distraught and yelled, "Tell me who the fuck you are now." Then another countdown started to happen. This made me even more upset and I started to yell, "No, you can't do that. I demand tell me who you are." And stopped to the number two. When slowly, it moved to two letters and then to the number three. I then shouted, "Who the fuck is this?" And I'll tell the readers it's spelling and a name of a common demon, but I'm not going to repeat it. Then it went back to that letter again, and another letter, and the number four. And it continued to seven. And at seven, I had enough and demanded it to leave me alone. And then it went all over the board and spelled out more that I couldn't understand. Then spelled out burn. At this point, I said goodbye. Within days after this happening, I started to get sick. I figured it was just a cold, but then it got to the point where I couldn't stand any light, move my head at all because it would hurt my neck way too much, and I started to reach fevers up to 106 degrees Fahrenheit. I went to the hospital, and they were stumbling on and stunned at what was going on, and they had no idea what was wrong with me. The third doctor decided to do a spinal tap. A few hours later, I had people running in and telling me that my protein levels in my spinal tap and the white blood cell count is showing that I have meningitis. They were suited up at this point and rushed me to the secured area of the hospital, asking me everything that I could or that they could, being completely unsure of how I ever got there. It then hit me that the board may have had something to do with what was going on. I didn't bring this up to the doctors because I felt like if I had done so, they would have had me seen a psychiatrist as well. So after a long, painful fight against meningitis, I decided to look upon the internet and see more about this so-called demon name. Seeing then, I spelled it out and spelled it out in many different ways. Today, I refuse to touch a Ouija board ever again. This is my story. Feel free to share it. If you have further questions, please email.
That is a good one for Ouija Awareness.
It is. And I think as this airs, this will probably be right at the beginning of Ouija Awareness Month. I'm pretty sure we're right. We're entering October.
Okay.
So happy Ouija Awareness Month, everybody.
Yeah.
I got to say, after you had the cautionary tale from the father, and then you had your one experience.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you go back again and do more?
Yeah.
I'm not normally one to criticize and be like, "What?" But come on. I mean, we got to, you know.
You had three strikes.
You got to learn the lesson at some point.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that at the end here, the lesson was learned. But yeah. And I would never say with something like this, you know, like, "Oh, yeah, what's coming to you?" Because nobody wants anything like this. But I would have to say you can't be that surprised by what happened to you, I guess, so to speak. Well, you know, just seeing how dark things had potential or had gotten for a relative and how scary got that first time.
Yeah. I mean, even if you were thinking, "Well, this entity is not going to be the one that bothers me," yeah, you know, you still should not go that route.
Sometimes time and distance will lessen the, you know, what, how we have our outlook on things and like, "Oh, that wasn't that bad." And, you know, and then, you know, try again. And yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad that that the lesson was learned at the end of the story. Just, I wish I had some of that Full House music at the very end to play. And then Comet comes up and gives everybody a little rub. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Do you think WD-40 on my microphone or does the creaking add to the mystique of the show? Huh?
I think, thanks for unmuting me.
I was about to read my next story and then I decided to ask a question.
I think WD-40 would be good. Yeah.
Yee! Does an ad character?
No, it's not special.
I didn't think so. Let's go to our next one. It says, hey guys, I love your podcast. I've had paranormal experiences my entire life, being 46 years old now. I have many stories to share. I'm a natural medium, so I found spirits are naturally drawn to me as they know they can communicate with me. As a child, this was terrifying, and I would either sneak into my parents' or brother's room to sleep until I left home at 16. Of course, my parents thought I was silly with an overactive imagination, so I learned to keep my experiences to myself. I have three children who are also sensitive to spirits, but as they get older, they seem to become less painful. I'll start with a recount of when I was pregnant. I'd unfortunately suffered three miscarriages before giving birth to my eldest child, a boy. My son, who was 18 months old when I found out I was pregnant again. At the ultrasound, we found out I was having twins and was 8 weeks along. It was early in the pregnancy, but I was being closely monitored due to my previous losses and was taking hormone therapy to keep the pregnancy going. We decided not to tell my toddler until after the first trimester. One afternoon, my son and I lay down to have a nap in my bed. I started having pain in my stomach and was quietly lying there on my side with my back to my son. I was thinking, please no, don't let this be another miscarriage. And I prayed for everything to be okay. My son, whom I thought was asleep, suddenly says, bye-bye, baby. I turn my head to look at him, and he's waving at the ceiling. He says, baby gone, mama. I just switched back over, thinking, no, it can't be. I tried to forget about it, but I was worried he was right. I went for another ultrasound at 10 weeks and was told that I had lost one of the twins. But I still had one healthy baby growing. I asked my son about that day, and he told me, yes, he saw a baby float up to the ceiling and through it. He said the baby was going back to heaven. He still remembers to this day, and he's now 17 years old. Fast forward 7 years, we were trying to get pregnant again with our third child. I'd had another miscarriage since my second child was born and was not falling pregnant as quickly as I used to. I was doing the whole ovulation tracking, etc., so I knew when my best time to try to fall pregnant was each month. Well, the time came, and fingers crossed, this month we would get lucky. I was in my late 30s and time was running out. 2 or 3 days after my ovulation date, my husband and I went to bed. The boys were both in bed at the other end of the house sleeping. It was normal to have one or both boys come into our bed during the night to sleep in the middle between us. This night, we were both asleep. My husband is a super heavy sleeper. Nothing wakes him, and he snores like you wouldn't believe. Anyway, we were sleeping, and I felt one of the boys jump up on the bed and climb over me. Without opening my eyes, I lifted the blanket for him to climb in, but he didn't. I looked, no one there. I sat up, looked around, and no kid. My husband said, who is that? I replied, did you feel that too? He said, yeah, I heard one of the kids run through the house and felt him jump on a bed. This was unusual, as my husband never experienced anything as I do, and he was a massive skeptic, so it was a first for him. We both got up and checked around. The boys were still asleep in their beds. The cat was outside. I have no explanation for what happened. The next month, I took a test and found out I was pregnant again. Now it all made sense to me, and I was amazed. It was my baby girl coming to me in spirit, letting me know she was on her way. It's a couple of stories. I want to share more in the future. I hope you enjoyed it.
You know, I've wondered this about people becoming ghosts after they die. Well, what about before they're born? Mm-hmm. When, you know, when they are on the way, I guess, you know, and we've had stories like that about people having almost like ghostly sightings of future children.
Sure.
So it makes you wonder, is that a thing? You know, are you seeing glimpses of the future, or how does that even work?
I don't know how it works, but we've certainly had stories about that.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only answer I have.
Yeah.
I have no idea. But it's not the first time we've had a story along those lines. So if you're listening who wrote that story, you're not alone in having those experiences.
I wonder if it's just like a time blip thing.
I don't know. I do not know. And I don't know where to speculate on that.
I don't know.
So thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hello, Jen, Tony, Carol, and Sean. This is Leslie from New York, and I will tell you that this story has to do, there is a bunk bed in it, so have your bell ready, Tony. So, I've been listening to some recent episodes that you've had, and you mentioned Dark Shadows, which was a TV show from 1966 to 71, I think you said, Tony. So on Dark Shadows, which was about vampires and stuff like this, they had a seance. And I was hanging out at my cousin's house with my cousin, who was my age, and her younger brother. And I'm a preteen. We're preteens at this stage of the game. And we decide, you know, I had just watched an episode of Dark Shadows. They'd had a seance, so let's have a seance. And the only dead person we knew was our grandmother. So we decide to contact my grandmother. Well, my youngest cousin there, he didn't want anything to do with this, so he was just hanging out on the bunk bed, and he was playing records on the turntable. So the record is spinning round and round and round, and it gets to the point of the seance where I say, is there anyone here with us? Could you please give us a sign? And just as I said this, the record stopped and started and stopped and started and stopped and started, just like somebody was putting their finger on it, preventing it from spinning, and then would lift and put it down and, you know, back and forth. Well, my cousin, my little cousin there, he got so scared he turned blue. We all ran out of the room. My aunt had to slap the little guy to get him to breathe again, and she was so angry she took me home. Okay, so that's the end of that story. But then we fast forward a couple of years. Now, my grandfather had passed, and not that this is scary or anything, but he had passed, and within the first year of him passing, we had moved. My family had moved to California. My sisters and I were out one day. Now, my grandfather was handicapped. He couldn't walk without crutches, and we had gone out to run some errands, and all three of us just stopped in our tracks because we saw this man who was crossing the street in a wheelchair who looked exactly spitting image of my grandfather, and we all just looked at each other and got tears in our eyes. Never saw that guy again, and this was a small town where you would pretty much see everyone all the time. You knew everyone in the town. Anyway, at some point later, I'm in this, you know, in my room playing records. I've got headphones on. I'm listening to my music, not thinking of anything. And all of a sudden, I feel this hand go right over my head. Like it just went over my head very lovingly. I thought it was my mother. So I turned around, and nobody was in the room. So I wasn't thinking of anything. And then I said, oh, my God, wait a second. No one was here. So I tore out of that room. I got scared. I think that was my grandfather, and I think he was saying that was his last little hurrah. You know, I think he had appeared to us in the wheelchair crossing the street, and I think that was his last little hurrah to say, you know, goodbye, I'm crossing over now. You won't see me again until it's your turn to cross over. So that's my story. I'm sticking with it. Keep up the good work. Love your show. Take care. Thanks. Bye.
You know, I think when they come back and they're trying to just do that last goodbye, I think the last thing they want to do is scare us. And so, like, just doing the crosswalk thing, you know, where they're sitting there and they see him go across the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been, like, the least scary way he thought of coming back.
Yeah, I could totally see that. Where it's like, this is the way I'm going to do it, and, you know, hopefully someone catches me. I wonder how often people do that, or ghosts do that to be seen in kind of a nonchalant way, and they're just totally missed. Like, how did you miss me?
Yeah.
And they're constantly there, and people are just so preoccupied with what they're doing that they don't even pick up on it.
Right.
It makes me wonder. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hello, Brewskis and company, meaning Carol or Sean or whoever happens to be co-hosting if this gets aired. My name is Christina, and I am from Eastern Oregon, and I have quite a few stories. Today, however, I'm going to share one that is interesting and creepy and crazy, and I haven't heard anything quite like it on your show. I've been listening for probably about 2 or 3 months. I binge every single day, listen to it at work, listen to it every chance I get when I'm at home. So I think you guys are going to find this kind of interesting. So I have been with my husband for about 9 to 10 years, give or take. When I first started my relationship with him, I was at his mom's house and we all got to talking about paranormal stuff and ghosts and spirits and whatnot and different experiences that we had all had. And his mom had told me how they had lived in a house and my husband had been probably about 3 or 4, maybe a little bit older than that. And he would always be talking and playing with somebody in this house that they lived in. And, you know, at first she was just thinking it was probably just an imaginary friend. But then little things started happening, like she would hear footsteps or doors open and closed or things being put in different places where they didn't belong. So then she started thinking maybe there was a little bit more to it. She had walked into... start a bath for him one day, got him dressed down, got him in the bathtub, went out and kept on doing what she was doing. Sorry, my dogs are playing in the background. She went on doing what she was doing and heard him in there playing and talking with somebody. And so she just kind of walked into the bathroom, peeked around the corner, and she's like, who are you talking to? And he says, oh, just the nice lady. And she's like, well, where is the nice lady? He said, sitting on the toilet. So she thought that was kind of funny and weird and just kind of brushed it off and went about her business. And then another time she was doing some housework and he was playing in his little playroom. And again, she heard him talking and went in there, asked him who he was talking to. And he said, just my friend, you know, the nice lady. And... kind of freaked her out a little bit, but she said it kept on continuing the whole time that they were in the house. Like, it never stopped. So, fast forward to here about 4 or 5 years ago. my husband had become friends with this guy and had gone over to his house, was walking into the living room and stuff, and... my husband stopped at this picture of his friend and a lady, and he just could not get away from the fact that he recognized this lady in the picture. And I mean, obviously it was his friend and a lady, so he assumed it was his mom. And he's like, hey, who is this? And his friend says, well, that's my mom. And he's like, have I met her before? I mean, she looks really familiar. And he's like, well, there's no way you could have met her if she died like shortly after taking that picture of us. And Anthony, my husband, just like could not get over the fact that he just knew that he had met her. Well, they continued talking and his friend ended up telling him that his mom had been shot and killed by her partner in a house in the town that we were living in. And so my husband asked him what the address was, and that address was the exact house he grew up in when his mom found out about his lady friend. So he talked to his mom about it after leaving his friend's house that day. And they have come to the conclusion that lady was murdered in the house. His friend's mom was murdered in the same exact house that he had his friend, his lady friend that he used to talk and play to or play with. Same house. And what's even crazier is that my husband was the same age as what her child would have been. So we're almost wondering if she just didn't connect my husband to it, like maybe possibly even being her son, because they were the same age when she died. You know, I mean, they're the same age now. They were the same age. So you know, who's to say that, you know, her son didn't move away and, you know, her lost spirit or her, you know, the ghost of her is thinking that this might actually be her son. So she's interacting with him like as if it were her son, playing with him, talking to him, sitting on the toilet while he's taking a bath. You know, that's just mom things that you would do. It's just insane to think that they crossed paths after they, you know, this had been, you know, 15, 16 years after she'd been murdered. And they just happened to cross paths and become friends and put all those puzzle pieces together from when he was a child. It's just insane and a crazy story. I haven't heard anything like it on your podcast. Like I said, I listened the wrong way, I guess you would say. I started from the earliest episodes and I'm now working to the back episodes, which I'm almost through. Like I said, I've been binging like crazy. I've got coworkers into your podcasts. The Grave Talks and Real Ghost Stories Online. I'm on your Facebook page. I actually just emailed Tony today about a possible topic for the Grave Talks. We have a place called Hot Lake Hotel that is a notorious place around Eastern Oregon for being haunted. So I'm hoping to get him in contact with people to interview for the Grave Talks. It would be awesome. Shed a little light on Oregon since we don't hear very many stories around here. Or we don't hear very many stories on your podcasts from around here. So I just thought I'd kind of share on our side of the states. Anyway, I love what you guys do. I appreciate everything you do. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my stories with you. And I will be calling back soon. I have some really good ones that will possibly be put on an EPP. Because they're that good, and I hear all the good ones are on EPP episodes. I haven't been able to become an EPP yet. I'm working towards that way. I have a big family, so it's kind of hard to find the finances sometimes. But anyway, I will become one someday. We'll just put it that way. I hope you guys have an awesome day, and I hope to hear this on an episode. Talk to you guys soon. Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. She's got a leopard. I thought it was just a dog. That is so.
You're having fun with sound effects. Okay.
It's nice. A hell of a puppy there.
What? I was going to say, I think there.
Go ahead.
To me, I don't think there's a doubt that the mom, the mom of the friend, the deceased lady, brought the two guys together for them to meet. Mm-hmm. I think it's too much of a coincidence. I don't really think coincidences happen. I think things happen for a reason. I think she brought them together.
I completely agree there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a good story.
It was.
Thank you for sharing that with us, and good luck with the leopard. I appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of the show. If you like us, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up for that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus episodes, EPP episodes, advanced episodes. Everything's there for you at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.